Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we are thankful that you choose to spend the next half hour with us as we go through the Word of God. Right now, we're going through the book of Ephesians, and we are looking at how prayer needs to be part of our life, not just at the beginning of our journey, but all the way through. And, during the resurrection season that we were coming through, one of the things that I made sure to highlight was that when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And the disciples were asleep at the wheel, if you will, that in the process of him praying, that an angel came and ministered strength to him. And what that enabled him to do was to pray even more earnestly, to the point that he was having physical manifestations of the intensity with which he is praying. So prayer is not always this serene, peaceful experience. Sometimes we need the strength of heaven. And I will tell you that, yesterday we were talking about praying for new believers and praying for pastors and praying for seasoned saints and all of the different seasons that we experience. But I can tell you this, that Jesus is praying for you, the Holy Spirit is praying for you, and that heaven will come and strengthen you. Even if you've got no one else to pray for you at a certain point in time, that God can strengthen you to pray and get the answer that you need, even if no one else is standing with you. So Wednesday night's Bible study night at Merritt Assembly of God, we pray that you would come and participate in that. I do need to tell you this. We have a parking lot in the back of our church. It's the parking lot sits at the corner of Tangerine and Parnell. And so there is parking back there. There is a new restaurant that opened up right across the street from the church, and it opens at 4:30, and it has been very, very busy. And the parking that we have on the Grove Street side of the church is public parking. It is, the county put it in. There is nothing that we can do to reserve those parking spots. So if you drive by and see that all of the parking spots are full on the street side, you can pull around the block, and there's a parking lot in the back, and there's plenty of room for our Wednesday night Bible study and things like that. So I want to invite you out for that at 7 p.m. And we're pretty considerate of time. We go from 7 to a little after 8, and then we get set up for a men's Bible study that comes on later in the week and things like that. So, by the way, one public service announcement here: Mother's Day is coming up. All of you who may not have remembered that, you're welcome. So you've got a few days to plan and prepare so that you can honor the women in your life, your mother, if she is still around, the mother of your children, and honor those spiritual mothers as well. So we're going back to Ephesians chapter 1. Yesterday we were talking about Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, I make mention of you in my prayers. Verse number 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I'd like to talk to you today about when we pray for one another, that we should pray that all of us have a testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith is something that God gives to each and every one of us. He gives us the measure of faith. What we do with that faith is entirely dependent upon us. I can tell you this, God just doesn't go around giving gifts that have no purpose or that he doesn't want us to utilize, but some people do not value it. Some people do not understand it. Some people misappropriate the application of faith to where they have faith in their faith, not faith in the God who gave them the faith. And I want to encourage you that we need to pray for one another, that we do not just have faith to be saved, but that we continue to have a testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the God who saves us. He's the God who saved us from our sins when we prayed. He is the God who is still saving us even to this day. And he one day will be the God who ultimately saves us and brings us to that place that he's prepared for us in heaven, that where he is, there we may be also. I have faith that his blood was able to wash my sins, but I also have faith that he is the God who sustains us. I have faith in him not just as Savior, but I have faith in him as Lord. I want to take just a moment to say that there are many people who identify as Christians in our modern society, and there seems to be an understanding that, well, if he's my Savior, that must mean that he's synonymous with being my Lord. And I will tell you that saving and lording are two different aspects entirely. And they should be united in the same purpose. But I want to encourage you. I'm praying that you have faith in the Lord. So I pray that you have faith for salvation, yes. But I also want you to pray that we have faith in his lordship, his sovereignty, that he is sovereign as the God who saves, but he is also, we can have faith in him that he is the one who delights and desires to do the will of the Father, that he is the anointed one, that he is able to bless us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So when I have faith in his lordship, I have more faith in him than I've got in me. I've got more faith in his words than I've got in my words. I've got more faith in his leadership than I've got in my ability to lead. I've got more faith in his wisdom than in my wisdom. You see, when I have faith in him as Lord, then my privilege is whatever he expresses as his will, that's what I want to do. And so my wife and I, our journey, it had a lot of unexpected geographical transitions through the years. And so before we got married, I got fired. And so I can tell you that Jesus' lordship is even greater than getting laid off, getting fired, getting, finding yourself. In fact, we've had that happen a few times. There's a couple of times that I've been fired, one of them pre-ministry, one of them in ministry. And I mean, that was traumatizing. And I was talking to a friend and he said, look, as I come from generations of ministers, and my grandfather used to say that no minister worth his salt had ever not been fired. And so, you know, I found some comfort and solace that if Jesus was rejected, that, you know, that there was, that he was able to be Lord even over the rejection process. So we had an unexpected geographical transition right before we got married. Then after we got married, we interviewed for a position in another state, got hired, went back, put in our 2 weeks notice, and then discovered that my wife was pregnant. And so we called the pastor to let them know, and they said, we hired a couple, we're not hiring a family. And as a result of that, the job offer was rescinded, and, you know, we had to go back, and thankfully they let us keep our jobs that we had turned in our notice from. A little while later, we'd sent out about 200 resumes with no responses whatsoever, and had just about settled into the fact, well, we're just going to continue to minister in the local church, and we never stopped ministering. We just couldn't get a ministry position. And just about the time we thought that was going to be our new normal, a pastor called, and literally 2 weeks later, we were working at a church for less money, but we were fulfilling the call of the Lord who leads us. And that eventually led us to Florida, which eventually led us to Merit Assembly of God. And we thought, well, we'll just be here for a season, and we just want to leave it in better shape than it was when we found it. And that has been 32 and a half years later. As a result of that, the Refresh Radio program is here. I can tell you, after years of saying yes, yes to pay cuts, yes to unexpected transitions, yes to go where he wanted me to go, yes to saying I'll accept this business job, and not knowing until later that was going to be the yes to what would be my ministry assignment, I can tell you this: I have as much faith in Jesus' lordship today as I ever have. I pray for you that you will have not only a mental inclination to having faith as in Jesus as your Lord and leader. His leadership is much better than your emotions. His leadership is better than your wisdom. His leadership is better than your instincts, better than your finances. His leadership is the ultimate way for us to live. The just shall live by faith, and we live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, get started on that journey of having faith in him as your Lord as early as you possibly can. Paul continues to talk to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking about that as he makes mention of them in his prayers, that he also remembers them, that they have a testimony of love for all the saints. And I slowed that down to mention it intentionally, because love is not optional for believers. Jesus told his disciples, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And like I've told you before, God is the exclusive source of agape love. That unconditional love that says, "I will love you when I'm young, I will love you when I'm not as young, and I will love you when I have a memory of being young. I will love you in sickness and in health. I will love you during seasons of financial challenge, and I will love you when finances are something that God blesses us with so that we can be agents of blessing." It is something that should be in operation in every believer's life. The church should literally be the greatest agency of unconditional love on the planet. Every believer should be practicing this as a lifestyle every single day. Here's the challenge. People are people. And what I mean by that is we all have flaws. We all have challenges. I know that we all like to think that we are easy to love, but the truth of the matter is very few of us are always easy to love. Paul said the solution for that is we pray. We pray that we are not just a compassionate people in our minds, but that we are a loving people in our lifestyle. And so what the world has a tendency to do is they love people who are just like them. So we have a political divide here in America. There's a political divide across the globe. And so with that political divide, and you know, there's some tension, there's hostilities that tend to exist there because passions run deep in the political divide. The challenge, whether that's economic or racial or whatever it might be, political, cultural, is that the farther we get away from God as a people, the more detached we become from the love that we need in order to love other people. So I tell people that God gives us grace. He gives us grace to deal with our own issues. He gives us grace to deal with the issues of other people. And so relationships are hard. They're challenging. So we pray and ask God to give us the love that we need, but we also pray that he would give us the grace that we need, the favor that we need, the mercy that we need. See, a lot of people realize they require mercy. They just don't like to dispense mercy. And so Paul writes and he says, love for all the people. And so, like I mentioned, culture tends to migrate to people who are just like them. And so if we're not careful, young people will only migrate to people who are young like they are. Or middle age will migrate to people who are middle age, or seniors. And we miss out on the loving people from all generations, and unless, you know, they're like grandma and grandpa, or you know, mom and dad, or something like that. And really, the generations in America right now, we think, oh man, I just can't wait till I get to be 18, and then I can move out of the house with mom and dad, and I can, instead of living there and being a financial blessing and they can be a blessing to me, I can get out and live in an apartment on my own, and I can make a landlord rich, and I can experience some financial poverty, but at least I will be out on my own. And so there's this mindset that we just as soon as we can, we want to create this generational disconnect, when God wants us to realize that there is a love that he wants to instill in us for all the generations. There's also the tendency that we isolate ourselves, not just by our generations, our age, but we can also isolate ourselves due to our appearance. And so at Merit Assembly of God, even though we are not a mega church, we're probably closer to a micro church. We have a sanctuary. We are not a super large congregation. We're, you know, we continue to reach out to people as best we can. But one thing that we do not do is we do not try and create a church that just looks like one segment of humanity. We want it to be a reflection of heaven. And so we ask God for a love to reach people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, not just through our missions, which we do, but also when they come, we just love them. So several years ago, there was a Wednesday night service, and we had some people that were coming to youth, and we were feeding them and things like that. And there was a mom who showed up that night. And she was Hispanic speaking, and one of the ladies in the church started speaking fluent Spanish. I don't speak fluent Spanish, but I do recognize it. My Spanish is muy poquito y muy mal. It's not good, and it's very, very small in words. And I looked at the lady from my church, and I said, I didn't know you spoke Spanish. And she said, Pastor Bob, I'm Hispanic. You didn't know that I spoke Spanish? And I said, I'll be honest with you. I don't look at you by and try and classify you by race. I just looked at you as a person that we love and care for. And I will tell you that, you know, it doesn't matter from where you have come or what culture, God wants us to be a place that loves all the saints, not just the ones that are easy, not just the ones who are, by the way, I'll throw in one more category, and that is socioeconomic. A lot of people want to love the people who have financial resource, but they don't want to love the people who are financially challenged. But I can tell you that through the years, we have found that God has the ability to bring people from a place of poverty to being agents of blessing. And so we just choose not to have a selective targeted audience, but we want to make sure that we love people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, because we want, when the saints gather at Merit Assembly of God, for it to be a little micro shot, a micro picture of what worship around the throne of grace is going to look like. So what's your testimony look like today? If we were praying for you the way that Paul was praying for the church of Ephesus, would he say, I am making mention of you in my prayers because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus? Would he be able to say that? Or would he say, I'm praying you get a new testimony and that your testimony would involve love in the Lord Jesus? Would he say, you already have heard have a testimony, and it's been brought to my attention, so that when I pray for you, I am rejoicing in the love that you have, not just for the easy ones to love, not just for the ones who look like you, talk like you, dress like you, drive vehicles like you, but, or what he say, I'm praying for you that you will grow in the love that you have, because right now you're not loving everybody the way that God wants everybody to be loved. One of the greatest challenges for the church in the book of Acts is when the Holy Spirit started ministering outside of the Jewish culture. The church said, wait a minute, we need to have a meeting. And when they did, they came away rejoicing, saying, even the Gentiles have experienced the same blessings from heaven we have. Let's love one another. See you next time.